You're tuned to Rosie on the House, and today we're replaying some of our favorite moments from 2016.
We've got Arthur, Greg, David, Brandon, and Glenn all on hold, also talking about projects you need to get done in and about and around your house that date your home. We've talked about filling in that sunken living room, as well as getting rid of those light coves, fluorescent light coves in your kitchen. Oh, nothing screams out of date, out of date, out of date, more than those horrible fluorescent light coves. Some of the other things that I want to talk to y'all about doing is, if your home was built in the 50s or 60s, you know, back then we did not do a lot of garages. There were a lot of carports. And in fact, we didn't even install deadbolts on exterior doors back in those days. You left everything out in the carport. Sometimes there was a little breezeway with a little tool shed attached to it. And all the doors in the house had one simple little privacy lock on the door. Didn't even deadbolt it. Well, a lot of those now are being converted to garages. And I want to talk a little bit about that, as well as filling in those horrible, uncomfortable, tile, boxy, cold, sunken atrium tubs. But I got to reward the people who have been on hold the longest. Let's get to them. Romy, let's bring in Brandon. There'll be David, Greg, and Arthur. Glenn follows that. Brandon, good morning. Hey, man. Thanks for being patient, buddy.
Hey, absolutely. Hey, I've got a home that was built in 1973,
okay.
Block home.
Okay.
And when they did the original insulation in the attic, They only put the blown-in insulation up to the top of the 2x4s.
Yeah.
And then they laid over a radiant barrier. Back then, I think the radiant barrier looked like butcher paper with some of the silver stuff on top.
Okay.
And then they laid, I would say, about 2-inch pieces of foam that were about 2 feet by about 3 feet, and just laid it across the top of the attic there.
Okay.
The attic floor. So, of course, that was not doing the trick. So we could feel the radiant heat coming in the home.
Okay.
So I went out and got some of that fiberglass, that I think the Atticat, and blown in, it's probably about an R40 to R45, depending where it's at.
Okay.
And
Brandon, did you leave the insulation sandwich that was already in there, the blown in, the radiant barrier, and the rigid insulation? Did you just blow on top of that?
I blew on top of the radiant, and I blew on top of the blown in.
Okay.
And I took out, where I could reach it, I took out all of the styrofoam.
Okay.
Then blew on top of that.
Okay. All right. And
now I have a Nest thermostat, and okay, I'm noticing that the house feels stuffy, and every time my air conditioner kicks on, my humidity level starts to go up.
Yeah. Brandon, have you had anyone out to do a whole house energy audit?
I knew you were going to ask that. No, I have not.
It costs $100, Brandon.
Yeah.
That's going to be the first place you're going to want to start, because then that's giving the house a full diagnostic analysis, and it really starts pinpointing. It's not the cure-all, but it's the starting point that we have some data that we can start looking at and saying, okay, what are we dealing with here? So get that whole house energy audit done. Let's get that report, and then let's go to work on solving what you're fighting.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, man, thanks for the call. Of course, in the Phoenix metro area, that's RIAS or Green ID are the two Rosie certified whole house energy audit companies that have made their way through the Rosie certification. Arthur, good morning.
Morning.
What you up to today?
We're in a house that's about 11 years old. We bought it 7 years ago, and about 6 years ago, we put in patios and walls and all that kind of stuff, and my main concern is my front wall, it's about a 4-foot wall with a cap on top, and it's showing a crack, and the crack looks like the crack is between the blocks coming up and all the way into the cap, and it's on both sides of the wall. I was wondering if there's some way I could cover that up without, you know, I know I can cover the crack up with paint, but is there something I can do that, you know, chip out the crack and put some kind of an epoxy in and paint over it?
Well, tell me this, Arthur. Is the crack as wide as a pencil lead, or it is as wide as a pencil?
Probably as thin as a mechanical pencil lead.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So that's just a little shrinkage crack. And this crack is through stucco, right? So it's like a skip trowel texture.
Right.
Okay. Well, the way we generally recommend folks repairing those smaller cracks is just get a good elastomeric caulk, and you can actually get it textured with sand in it. And what I do is I take an air compressor or you know, one of these electronic compressed airs that you spray your keyboard with if you don't have an air compressor, and just spray that crack out real good to get all the loose, fine dust and sediment and sand particles out of it. And then I take the textured elastomeric caulk, and I put it on the crack. Then I take my finger and I rub it down, and then I take a damp sponge and I damp off all the rest of it, and I rub it perpendicular to the crack, so you're feathering in all the elastomeric, and you're keeping it from where it's going to flash at you after you finish repairing it. And the reason I like textured is because it also reduces the need for flash. Sometimes if it's a very heavy stucco, I actually take a little bag of silicone sand and I rub the silica sand into the caulk to camouflage it even more. Let that dry real good and paint it. As long as that cracking is only as the width of a mechanical pin lead, you don't have anything structural going on, you ought to be able to solve it with simple elastomeric, textured elastomeric caulk and paint.